forgive me for the wrong I've done. And let's try again to make it last so long.
I feel the waiting,
oh, yeah,
for you, babe, to come back to love, to fulfill this life.
Welcome back to Love Is Podcast.
Another day might be too long.
Alright.
Go slow, nothing goes wrong.
Listen, baby.
Yeah, niggas, goddamn. Real shit.
I can't wait to feel your love.
We're in the movie, so.
You can stop.
My phone was just ringing, goddamn.
Ooh, yeah. So let's start all over.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me get my life together.
And let the love just stay in the test of time. I'm still waiting, baby.
All right, niggas, this has been a long day, though, for real, for real. I got to work this morning. God damn it. I never do intakes on Mondays, right? Like, my whole day is like intake. So I get in, have a little quick conversation with, you know, the receptionist or whatnot, because we normally do a little talk in the morning and whatnot. And it's like, I go to my office to put my backpack down, goddamn. And go to the front, you know, to see if the client is going to be late or if they're coming. Soon as I walk to the front, niggas, goddammit. my co-worker was like, Dr. K, you got this, and then another client, and then three clients waiting on you. Got your intake, you got two complaining. I said, oh, shit now, goddamn. it took me about a good 40 minutes, right, to handle each situation, to put the fire out. And I had one of the client's mom, she's really sweet, whatnot. And I knock on the doctor's door, right? And as soon as I opened up the door, she grabbed my arm and started holding my arm like, oh my God, you're still here. Oh my God. Like, and the doctor's looking, because she's still new. She's looking at me like, the fuck's going on with this? What the fuck are you to do to this lady? I'm like, oh my God. So, I promise you, it has been really nice. Working as a director and being able to handle situations when people are going through a crisis, right? Because a lot of times it's the complaints are them dealing with some type of crisis. And when you think about, let me turn it down just a tad bit. And when you think about, our people don't go to therapy, right? We just don't. We don't go to therapy. And seriously, when they do, right? Because this is the seriousness I take my job at, right? Because I already know it's difficult for our people to come in. So when they come into a space of healing, because therapy is healing, it's about healing. You come into a space of healing and you don't feel like you're being heard. All we end up doing is wounding the client again. So I make it my business to solve the situation because I don't want them to have a bad experience. And the important component to that is being able to really listen to what the client is needing and where they feel as if someone has not heard, or where they haven't felt like, you know, that they're being ignored. So, considering I had two of those incidences today, and I was able to make sure those things were handled effectively and all of the clients left, you know, happy and not upset. So that makes me feel good, right? But I did have to tell my... I was like, I can't be doing intakes no more, goddamn. Because if stuff is like this is going to happen, I had to really get me a concrete schedule because of, you know, all of the stuff. But it's still been a very rewarding past couple of weeks. I am learning a lot and growing a lot. And I give God glory for that. So, man, it has been amazing, right? Because you've heard me say God said it's going to be a prosperous year for me. And I'm really grateful because I really haven't had to borrow money from anybody. I've had enough to carry me to make sure I'm okay. Even a little over. Now I can start saving money. So I'm excited about that. Because this has been a while for me to be able to get back into that space again. I'm grateful. And I heard something this morning, because I normally listen to, it's a temple called Shama Yisrael. And I often listen to them in the morning on my way to work and on at home a lot of times. Most of the time, those recordings that I have is actually from them. And I was listening to a message on my way to work this morning, and they had a young woman speaking, and she was talking about, it's something you always hear me say, but she put another spin on it, and it was really something that magnified within myself. And one of those things was, you know, God requires us to do some things. So when God asks us or tells us to do something, a lot of times we don't adhere to what he is telling us to do. And a lot of times we reject it. And she was saying, you know, when we reject things, we're not really realizing what could transform or what comes of what it is that God is telling us. And when we reject it, we end up being in a worse space than we were before we even thought to reject what was, you know, being told unto us. And I really thought about that very deeply on the way to work, but it's a true fact. I was like, man, you know, there have been many times I've been told to do some things, but the impact of me not doing that really took me into various places that was uncomfortable or, you know, off-putting, to the point where, you know, I'm like, damn, I'm more in a worse place than I was before. So let me learn how to really find a space where I could truly be obedient and take in what God is saying to me and what he's requiring of me, and understanding what he requires of us, and being obedient to his word and walking in those principles. I mean, like, when I think about how much my work has transformed just from being obedient, just from learning to quiet myself and really, you know, humble myself. Because truly it's about humbling ourselves, right? Because truly when we don't do what we're asked, it's a lack of humility in essence. And we put ourselves in a place where we decide, or we're saying to God, we know what is better for our lives than you do. And because I'm going to do this thing the way I want to, right? Because that's pretty much what we said. We're saying, I know this. Back up. I got this. I know you told me to do this or that, but that is not what I want to do. I'm going to do this. And see, when you think about some of the things we've read over the course of the time, right? You find that God is not going to force himself on us. He just gonna handle the lightweight. And it's up to us to decide whether or not we want to continue on in the rebellion or turn away. Because he said he doesn't delight in dealing with us harshly. And if he had his way, he wouldn't have to, because, you know, we would do what's correct. So when you really have that understanding, and it's really important. But let me share with you something, because I'd like to let you hear something that really, it's going to line up to something you really heard me say, but I want you to know something very interesting as I pull this up. I got two things, but this one is probably the most important thing that I have heard over the weekend. Yeah, that part. Okay, here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, people of Russia, today, сегодня, we stand on the precipice of a monumental revolution, a moment that redefines not only our understanding of history, but also the path forward for our great nation. In an extraordinary discovery, hidden beneath centuries of lore and legend, we have opened what can only be described as the oldest vault known to mankind. What we found within its ancient confines challenges the very fabric of our beliefs and heralds a new dawn for our country. Within this vault, we discovered figures of biblical proportions, characters that many have read about, debated, and revered. These figures, preserved against the sands of time, reveal a truth that is as profound as it is transformative. They are all black. This revelation, this undeniable truth, stands before us not as a contradiction to our faith, but as a testament to the diversity and unity that faith embodies. As your president, I see this moment not as a challenge to our beliefs, but as an opportunity to embrace a wider, more inclusive understanding of our history and spirituality. Russia, in its rich tapestry of cultures, traditions, and peoples, is uniquely positioned to lead the world into this new era of understanding and acceptance. From this day forward, let us proclaim our nation under the guidance of Black Jesus, a figure who represents not just the cornerstone of Christian faith, but also a symbol of the universal values of love, compassion, and brotherhood. This Black Jesus, whose likeness and history have been unveiled from the oldest vault, is a message to us all that divinity knows no color, that spiritual truth transcends race, and that our common humanity binds us more tightly than our differences divide us. Let this discovery remind us that history is not just the story of those who wield power, but also of those whose contributions have been overlooked or forgotten. It challenges us to re-examine what we know, to question our assumptions, and to open our hearts to the broader possibilities of understanding and faith. As we embark on this journey of discovery and understanding, let us do so with open minds and compassionate hearts. Let us build a nation that truly reflects the teachings of Black Jesus, a nation that stands for justice, equality, and love for all, regardless of race or creed.
So that was Vladimir Putin. Now, listen. It ain't like they just now found this shit the fuck up. Because the pictures they were showing, we've all seen already. What really made me cry when I heard this, because God had showed me some time ago they would be the ones to help us when Israel come against us, because you know they will. So girl, I won't be satisfied until you give love a try. Because they will. They're going to do it. Now, this is a very fucking interesting thing. One, I'm like, man. Them saying that definitely is going to make them Jews mad down that day. But it could be some bullshit. I don't know, because the scriptures talk about there's an event that takes place when we come into our land and we begin to rebuild ourselves as a nation. And all the other nations decide they want to come against our ass. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. But the thing that was really interesting that I found this week was, let me see if I can find the other one. So basically what I came to find out was that the Jews tried to get the Muslims to say that they were the real children of Israel. And they did a counter measure where they sent this pastor, and y'all remember sometime back I had played that clip of the pastor saying that he received a letter from the Muslims saying that we were the original Jews and they look forward to us coming back into our homeland, which is not over there, goddamn, but I'm just saying. And from that counteract, from the Muslims, that's the reason why they're pissed off and they attacking their ass, because they refuse to say that they were the original Jews. But the thing about it that we really got to understand is the same Jews that trained the police for a Black uprising. So that means they're expecting us to rise up. And that's the thing that we haven't really got to really understand. It's a lot of shit going on this year. And our answer is so disconnected, and we just... I promise you, this is, if it's not any other time, then now, for us to really band together collectively and really start building things and saving and putting things aside and working on, you know, growing our own food and shit like that, because we don't need to. Because if this shit go down the way God has showed it to me, niggas, we ain't gonna be able to have food from them. Listen, I was talking with my daughter today because I was listening to a message and it was talking about Psalms 119, which is like the ABCs of the Hebrew alphabet, and each letter has, you know, some writings attached to it. And someone said we should try calculating our names or adding, putting our names together with the sayings of the alphabets, you know, so that we can coincide and see what comes of what our name looks like with those sums. So I had a chance to do that with my daughter today, and it was really interesting, some of the things that came up, because those attributes and the wonk and struggles of my life were kind of embedded in that, which I thought was really, really interesting. And maybe another time I'll sit and read it for you, but I was just thinking about all of that stuff. Today, my son's birthday. He turned 31 today. And really praying that, you know, he get his life with God a little bit more solidified. Because I just want them to be protected, you know what I mean? Because of all of the stuff that's going on around us that we're missing out today, there was something that went on in Chicago. This cat had road rage, white guy. And he just walks up to this brother's car and open fire, just shot his ass. Because he was cut him off or some shit. He opened fire on him in on the middle of the motherfucking freeway. I know y'all heard me talk about so many things to transpire, but I know a lot of you don't really think about, you know, the things I've been saying. But to be honest, I'm going to say it again. Everybody's been with me or listening to this podcast for, since I started. You will know the shit I was saying. And half of the things that I have been saying, you can definitely start seeing come true. God is not mine. Wherever his word goes forth, it has to accomplish it. Only thing we won't understand is exactly how it's going to play out. When is exactly going to transpire? Because he didn't give time. He just showed the vision. But I don't know. Anyway, let me get to where I was supposed to be at today anyway. So, the song that we're going to be going over today is Yehovah's Name. You know, it's really funny. I was chilling last night and my mom called my phone and she was like, "Sheree, what are you doing to that man?" That's how my mama sound when she be talking. I'm like, "Huh? What you say? What is it? I am. I said, "Okay." So she was asking me, what does I am mean in Hebrew? And I told her that, it's funny that you asked me that because I was working on my lesson about God's name. So, I am is what you find when Moses asks, Yahweh asks, who shall I say to your people? You are what God, because mind you, he grew up in the Egyptian way of life. And he worshipped the gods of Egypt. But the cold piece is that the Pharaoh's daughter, right? She defied her father. Then you ask me, how did she defy her father? She took Moses in. Because Moses was supposed to be dead. The decree was went forth and said that every firstborn son was supposed to die. Or all the sons of Israel were supposed to die. And she defied her father and she brought Moses in and raised him as her own. So when you think about the probability of what his life actually meant and who he was as a man, the salvation of the people, just as he was saved, right? And the interesting thing is that his mother, the Egyptian, followed him. How do I know they mention her in her lineage of people? That her deeds in saving Moses' life even made room for her to be accepted. You know what I mean? A lot of times we really don't think about the impact of some things that we just tend to take very lightly in life. And sometimes there are things that we really, we got to marinate on it. Reflect. This is why the scriptures tell us to meditate on the word. What does it mean to meditate on it? That's reflection. Events happen in your life and that word pop right back up at you. That's how you able to utilize it throughout events in your life. Seek the word is what you need in order to survive. Without it, you have nothing to hold on to. I think about when I do intakes, when we ask people what their faith is. Nowadays, most people are like, I don't have a faith, I don't know. And the first thing that comes to mind is you wonder why you're having a hard time with your children. Because we're not stealing values in them. We're not giving them anything to hold to. Nothing, no weight. You mean what the scriptures say? You teach your children day and night? That they might learn and do. Learn and do. Giving it to them teaches them something. And once they have it, it's not far away that you can run from it. You know what I'm saying? Even when they grow up and they lose their way, those things are still in the back of your mind dealing with you. If your parents did a good job with instilling it in you, because a lot of times we don't do a good job at instilling that thing in there. So the name of that God gave Abraham was I am that I am. Not really I am that I am per se. I will be whom I will be. Some say life that brings forth life. Some say the existing one. But we do know he's life that brings forth life. So let's get to it. No, I was supposed to be playing a video with my dumb ass.
Front your house like the poor speed. Damn nigga can't extort me. I bear arms like a short sleeve. Real niggas gon' support me. Cause I'm spinning flame like a torch beat. Better stick to your plan A. Plan B can't abort me. I was born for this, birth for this. Everything that I got, I work for this. Revolutionary speaker for the people. What I'm teaching, you'll get hurt for this. Won't keep my silence. Won't hold my tongue. Shit, they only speak with violence. So let me load my gun. Buffalo souls, a big dreadlock roster. Babylon will fall. Every day I fight a demon. Nah, I ain't running from them, I'm killing them all. Hear the real in my voice. Praise God that I'm still filled with the joy. These niggas like the devil. Only came here to kill, steal, and destroy. Kill your visions, steal your dreams. Woo. Destroy your purpose. That's by any means. Keep them haters out your face. Cut the head off a snake. Keep your grass cut and pray. Lost my mama, lost my daughter. But I'm still here cause I never lost my faith. Boss!
Nigga say he lost his daughter and his mama. And he's still here. And never lost his faith. there are things that come in our lives that challenge our faith. Nigga. And you can get close to the edge of things when you've pushed all the way to your limit. But I'm going to promise you, I know God. I know God. He is something. Yeah. Something, he's something. Real talk. Anyway, let's get to it, y'all. Okay. Let's get to it. So, we're going to start with the name of Yehovah. There is something called a tetragrammaton. Basically, what the tetragrammaton is, it is the what's the word again? Goddamn. Oh, transliteration. It's a transliteration. Transliteration, basically, what transliteration is, okay, is it would be similar to like the phonetic spelling of the word. It's translated phonetically from the language into another language. So the transliteration of his name is YHWH. The Hebrew alphabet is Yod, He, Wav, He, Yah-O-Wah. Yod, He, Wav, He, Yah-O-Wah. Yeah? Now, the other aspect could be Y-H-U-H. And still, people pronounce that as Yahuwah. Now, the Latinized version is YHVH Yahovah. Yeah. So when we get into the name, there's root words, right? Kind of like suffixes. When it comes to English, because a lot of our words are compound words, come together. They have both have their multiple words having multiple meanings, but they come together to make one word, right? Especially when it comes to the Greek and the Latin. We will get on, because I was supposed to do some long time ago, is the spelling of the English language and the fact that is literally a curse. I don't know what the hell I did with my inhaler, goddamn. Because this pollen is real shit. It's alright. I'd be okay. Okay, so listen. There's also the universal name, Yah, right? Some people say, or some places is written Yah, who. Y-A-H or Y-A-H-U, right? Or Yah, or you. Psalms 82:6 says these. I have said, ye are Elohim. Literally, powers. Like magistrates. Or rulers, right? And all of you are children of El Elyon. A lot of people use the term El Elyon, right?
Thank you.
Yes.
I can get to it later because it's down near the bottom. So Psalms 46 and 10 says, "Be still and know that I am Elohim," capital E. Note there's a capital E and lowercase e. Lowercase E, when you read or the word in lowercase, is associated with people or other gods, lower g, little g, gods, right? But when it's talking about Yehovah the Father, it's capitalized. So you'll know the difference between the two. And it's so interesting because these are the things that you don't learn in church. They don't teach us this stuff. So we're without or mixing and not really having true understanding, right? And I will be exalted among the heathen. This is God talking. He said he will be exalted among the heathen or the goy or the nations, right? Is the creator God only being exalted above all the nations? Hell no. No. JC is being exalted above all the nations. Just like Vladimir just said. Notice how they still giving y'all ass Jesus now, goddamn. But what he also left out is niggas used to rule that country. That part. So, and note the very interesting thing he said, because the terminology he used was really interesting, but you really had to be paying attention to what he's saying to really decide whether or not you was going to be offended by the fuck he said. So basically, now that everybody knows Jesus is black and the people are black, right? Spirituality has no color lines. The fuck? Did you hear that? Because he did say that. That it has no color lines. Why is it anytime something's concerning us as a people, they want to throw that shit out there? But that ain't the terminology they use when they had the white guard. I'm just saying. Moving on. He said he will be exalted upon all the earth. And we ain't seen that yet. To be honest, nobody even gonna walk away from JC. All the world wondered after the beast. Nigga. That's a story for another day, though. But what you gain is, there is a scripture where it says, "Be still and know that I am," that term "I am," "eh yeah, Asher, Yahuwah." Be still and know. Well, what happens when you're still? Well, when you're still, or when God makes you still, when God holds up all of the things that's going on in your life, you can tell when God has made you still, because everything around you is falling apart. And him making you still is him trying to get your attention. You know, a lot of times he be trying to get our attention, but we don't pay attention. So he get us to a point where we have no choice but to sit still and begin to pray and seek. I recall a couple weeks ago, I gave my son a word and go, him trying to find his own way. He said, "Seek him for 3 days." He didn't do it, but he got mad at me. When we are petitioning for God to do something in our life, or when we are not in sync with him, he does not hear our prayers. He can't petition on your behalf. You had to go to someone that he's listening to pray you through it. Because once it starts, there is nothing you can say to him because he said he won't hear you. Now, I know you think I'm wrong when I say this. Yeah, you think I'm wrong. Right? But as always, we like to back our ass up on some stuff. Sorry, y'all, I'm typing. He has stated that he will not hear certain ones, Isaiah wrote. Behold, Yahuwah's hand is not shortened, that it cannot say neither. His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. And he will not hear. And one more time now. Okay. He has shortened. He has stated that he will not hear certain people. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, 1 through 12. I mean, 1 through 2, right? Behold, Yahuwah's hand is not shortened, meaning his hand ain't too short where he can't reach you. Did you hear that? Meaning his hand ain't too short where he can't reach you. That it cannot save. Nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But, note that, there's a colon right here. Remember I told you that colon is very important. But, well, but means what? Conditions. There's a conditionary aspect to this thing. For you, or for him to be able to hear what you have to say. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Did he say he may be here or not? No, that he will not hear you. Meaning, you want to get a prayer through. You got to go to or ask someone who got the ear of God to pray you through. We ain't talking about JC now, goddamn. We really, really are so disconnected. And you be wondering why you was praying, right? And not all your prayers get answered. This because they left that shit out. while they was out here giving us other gods and stuff. And God is good. We just gotta know how to approach him, because we don't know. We're disconnected. We're disconnected. We're disconnected. We're disconnected. And that's a sad thing. Isaiah. Okay, what in a smacky poop? Okay, you done messed up some stuff. I'm sorry, I was looking for the cross reference of this. It takes two to tango. Tell me, can you handle? So Isaiah 1:15, it says, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you multiply your prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. That's Isaiah 1:15. This is what Yahuwah says. Where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away, or to which of my creditors did I send you? Look, you were sold for your iniquities and for your transgressions. Your mother was sent away. Now, remember we had a car, I talked about the women being put away. Mm-hmm. You say he put her away. He didn't want her no more. When the wife cheats on the husband, truly she deserves death. And sometimes she gets put away. Isaiah 58:4. You fast with contention and strife to strike viciously with your fist. You cannot fast as do today and have your voice be heard on high. That's Isaiah 58:4. Lamentations 1:8. Yerushalayim has sinned greatly, therefore she has become an object of scorn. All who honored her now despise her. And you remember when I was saying like how the punishment fit the crime? Because people revered Israel, and now everybody hates those people, that part, for they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns away. Ezekiel 39:2-3 is another precept. And the nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile for their iniquity, because they were unfaithful to me. So I hid my face from them and delivered them into the hands of their enemies, so that they all fell by the sword. Ain't listening. Micah 3:4. Then they will cry out to Yahuwah, but he will not answer them. At that time, he will hide his face from them because of the evil they have done. And see, you were taught that God listened to your prayers, didn't you? Yeah, you was. But you didn't realize your actions can separate you from him, and he won't answer your prayers. So you be thinking about how often you prayed about some things and you never got an answer. Nothing ever came through, because you are disconnected from him, or you no longer have favor in his sight where he grants your request. Thus says Yahuwah, where is the beauty? Oh, I didn't read that one. Deuteronomy 32:19. When Yahuwah saw it, he abhorred, rejected them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. He talked about us provoking him. So now that you know, goddamn, that God does not hear your prayers, especially when you're not in favor with him, when you're not walking in his principles, you understand then that there's something you better learn to do. And that means you gotta have someone that you know has God's ear pray on your behalf. But let's get on moving with it. So he says, be still. And what happens when we are still? We cannot hear until we are made still. Then he, Yahuwah, is revealed unto us. Here I am. But we got to be made still first. And then he can move. Right? And when we are still and have relayed and relented ourselves over, we give ourselves over. You have it's something that you got to do when you get still. You got to relent. You got to say, okay, God, you done made me still. Now, what do I need to do? Show me how I get myself out of this thing that you put me in. How do I redeem myself from this place? He said you will relent yourselves over to the will of Yahuwah. We then have understanding. So once you are made still, then you can hear. And when your hearing comes in, you now understand why he made you still. You begin to get understanding why he stopped everything around you. You will begin to understand why all of the things is transpiring around you. But you first got to be still, and then you got to seek him to get understanding, and then you will find the answer to what you're seeking. But it only happens when you become still. Then we know that I am a Yeh Asher is Yahuwah. Did it say Jesus' name? Did it say Muhammad name? Did it say Buddha name? Did it say Vishnu? Did it say any of them goddamn gods? No, it didn't. It says, then you will know I am life everlasting is Yahuwah, your God. In reference to you are a little lesser than the Malakim. The Malakim is the Hebrew word for angel. Because the term angel means the demon, nigga. The deriving of the word comes from Nike. You know them shoes y'all ass wear? And Nike is a, yeah. But Malakim in Hebrew means messenger. The Malakim is plural form for Hebrew. And Malek mean messengers or messenger. For you have made him a little lower than Elohim. That's with a capital E. And have crowned him with glory and honor. The Psalms 8 and 5. So, as I was looking up God's name, I found a couple of very interesting things. One was, so the name of God is encoded in our DNA, right? And you'd probably say to me, what do you mean by that? Or what evidence do I have to prove this, right? There's a difference between skepticism, cynicism, and intentional unwillingness to expose yourself to any perspective, which is in ignorance, let alone evidence thereof, which conflicts with your pre-existing worldview, which is true. You hear me talking about it all the time. A lot of times we know things and we share and have conversations with people. Most people don't want to have a dialogue, probably because they're not knowledgeable. And in that sense, you actually you alleviate yourself from being in a space to actually gain some knowledge, in essence. A lot of times we reject knowledge out of ignorance or because we feel as if we aren't as knowledgeable. But being unknowledgeable of something should never shy you away of having dialogues about information you don't know. Because sometimes you'll surprise yourself at what you might find or hear or understand. Or sometimes you might have a great perspective on what's being spoken of. We have to learn not to be fearful of engaging people with knowledge. Just because we're insecure about not having the knowledge. Because the dialogue still sheds light on you. And a lot of times it sparks us to go and look and research later on. But if you shy from it, you have no access to knowledge. Whether or not you agree with it, to engage in discussion is healthy. Moving on. Which conflicts with your pre-existing worldview, right? Something you already know. We see others are immediately dismaying the claim, meaning they reject the claim, telling people why they know it to be false. But none have demonstrated any familiarity with the actual claims involved. But a man named Dr. Isaiah Rubinstein claims the helixes that make up our DNA seem to be held together by a series of sulfur bonds between the base pairs of GCAT that constitute your genetic code. And that these bonds are not randomly placed or evenly placed, but there's a sulfur bond, then 10 base pairs, then another sulfur bond, and then 5 base pairs, then another bond, and then 6 base pairs, and then another bond, and then 5 base pairs. Before the pattern repeats itself 10-5-6-5, 10-5-6-5, 10-5-6-5, 10-5-6-5, over and over, holding your DNA together. This sequence means nothing to English speakers because you really wouldn't understand the sequence itself, and it has no relevance to English, of course, because we use Latin letters and Arabic numbers, but Hebrew uses letters as their numbers. So do the Arabic people, goddamn. Because they're Shemitic, and the language is Shemitic. And pretty much what you have is each letter in the Hebrew alphabet represent numbers as well. So when you see those letters or those numbers, the representation of a letter as well, you'll see something very interesting. So Aleph is both the first letter of the alphabet and the first number. The number 10 is Yod, the number 5 is He, and the number 6 is Vav or Wow. If you have any Arabic dialect, five again is He. So you have 5-6-5-6, your DNA held together with God's signature, Yahuwah, Yod Hey, Wav Hey, over and over again. The name mingled in the mist of your DNA. His name, Yod Hey, Wav Hey. Right. That connection is nowhere else, though, right? So listen. Now, after you understand this claim, you can be fairly and respectively skeptical if you would like. Maybe the pattern is a coincidence, possibly, but I don't believe so. Perhaps that's just the structure for how the polymers keep track of and login stand, and it just happens to be in a pattern that looks similar or familiar in Hebrew. Or maybe he's totally bluffing and made up the claim out of the thin air. That's the way I'm learning, because I can't find anyone else depicting this observation. But blanket decimals before you even know that your denying is not skeptical or cynicism. It's just ignorance, meaning you're just not aware. And because you have no knowledge of the Hebrew language or numerical system, you wouldn't catch it. But it's also with black dark matter. That same signature is in all living. Everything on the earth carries that signature, the dark matter. And it speaks to an intelligent design. So when he says the Ruach or Spirit of God hovered over everything, mind you, the dark, right, and the light. Just saying. So the ATGC is being held by the sulfuric bonds. They have a repeating pattern and found at 10565 and again 10565 are the numbers corresponding to letters of God in Hebrew. Look up the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph Bet. First two letters of a Hebrew alphabet. And several other languages, like Greek, English, Romance languages. It's Yod-Heh-Wav-Heh. It's been revealed in the Book of Moses. This is also known as the Tetragrammaton. Now today, it's generally accepted pronunciation for ease of reference is Yahweh or Yahowah, Va and W in Hebrew, U and W. And also other languages are related in spelling. Punctuation, where a letter called Vav is pronounced either V or W sound. God signed his name in our body, and God is the creator of us. Remember, Yahweh or Yahweh. Some have even come to shorten this to Yah. This photo is a chemical structure. Does it look familiar? Yes, it looks like Yah. What is Yahweh's breath? Excuse me. The DNA is composed of four elements: hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, carbon. When put together from YHWG, carbon is what makes us physical and earthly beings. When carbon is replaced with nitrogen, we have all colorless, odorless, and invisible gases. The key word is invisible. They from letters Yod-Heh-Wav-Heh, which is the name of Yahweh. That is the breath of God, who breathed life into Adam. God breathed oxygen, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen. It's written without vowel dialects that are seen as dots and dashes, which young children learning Hebrew need to learn the right word in context. Sorry, I'm tired. Okay, because as an adult, there are no diacritics, and a combo of letters can mean several different words if you don't have context. Hebrew readers are very literate because they have to basically scan entire phrases or even sentences in advance to know what the likely word will be and pronounce it correctly. And you was hearing me saying this before, like, understanding language is important to know what the scriptures are saying. And a lot of the times they misinterpret or use the wrong interpretation for the word. And this doesn't like, reading the Strong's doesn't really help you get an understanding of it. You really need to learn a language. Or at least study up on it a lot more. It's kind of like how they told you Jesus is in the Old Testament and he ain't found nowhere in there, goddamn. So when you tell a Christian that they get mad, and majority of them don't study the Hebrew aspect of things, even though the foundation of the people, there'd be no Christianity without the Hebrew people. There'd be no Islam without the Hebrew people. It takes it right back to the same people and where it established itself from. But nobody thinks about that. Their focus is only on the end part. And like, niggas, y'all foundation came from this. This is the foundation. This is the structure. You then take the structure, they take the structure, the Hebrew aspect of things, and then they built upon it. See that? Yeah. We're gonna smacky poop. Okay, where did I leave off at, doggit? I'm gonna skip myself in the wrong place. That's what always happens when I do these. Okay, correctly. Okay. Most interesting thing you come to find out about the Ivri, or Hebrew people, is that they do not pronounce God's name because they stop after, I believe after Babylon, they stop pronouncing his name, per se. And this is the reason why. Even though there was a prophecy going forth and saying that he would move his name from the earth too. That's another thing. They don't want to be found in error. Because remember, he talks about don't pervert his name. But it's more than just his name, because his name is attached to all things Israel anyway. So the things in which we do dishonor him, we're perverting his name. Because remember, he put his name upon the what? People. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm sorry. All right, let's get it together. So Hebrew people, they like the God's name because according to their beliefs, they didn't want to be found in error. Excuse me. But it's a little bit more deeper than that. You'll find out with some of the things the Zionist Jews talk about. That's a story for another day. So if we take into consideration that there are two different ethnicities of people claiming this very heritage, which I think most people know, possibly not, don't really think about what we're being told here is to why they have chosen not to utilize it, the true name of God, then it's something that we have to consider when we are reading or taking in time to inform, taking in some of the information when we are researching about the history of these people, which is true, because like you really got to take into consideration what you have or the information that we have right now, man. You already know them sneak people, they be doing some bullshit. So you really have to pray about what you're seeking and searching into. And I've had dialogues with a lot of people that started off in the direction I'm going, they went way left. But see, I already know them Jesuits, goddamn, and the shit they said they was gonna do. I also know them Jews and them Jesuits are related too, goddamn it. So I don't. So this is the reason why I don't release it. But the most solid thing that I could tell you today is the fact that God's name is written in your DNA. Yahuwah. His name is in you, right? Where anybody else can lay that claim to? Which it lines right up with that scripture. He formulated them and he breathed into them. He's the breath of life. It was the breath of Yahuwah breathed into him and caused him to be an animated being. And the essence of that is within them or within you. You see what I mean? Which means that you can't even deviate from biblical principle because it's taking this shit to a whole new level. But you heard me say multiple times that science is proving the things in scripture to be right. It's finally caught up with God's word. That ain't all though. Let's finish up. Then it's something that we have to consider when we are reading or taking in some of the information, when we are researching about the history of these people, and thus have to operate with insight. We really do. It's something you gotta pray on, because if you're not praying on it, he can't lead you in the right direction. You understand?
You said you want to freak me?
And the wisdom of Yahuwah is to decipher what's being said to us so that we are truthfully understanding and fullness what has been written. We really do. You know what I mean? Okay, so Yahweh, the name of the God of the Israelites, representing the biblical pronunciation of Yod Heh Wav Heh, the Hebrew name revealed to Moses in the book of Exodus. The name Yod Heh Wav Heh existing the sequence of consonants, Yod Heh Wav Heh, is also known as Tetragrammaton, after the Babylonian exile in 6th century BCE, and especially from the 3rd century BCE on, Israelites ceased to use the name Yahuwah for two reasons. Excuse me. And Judaism became a universal rather than merely a local religion. And it's not really a religion. It's a way of life. They were people. It wasn't just about a religion. They had festivals and practices. This is a culture, right? A culture is not a religion. A religion is the way a people worship a deity. But what you are seeing in the Hebrew people is a whole culture. It's a series of systems of how they rule their nation and the days, the holidays that they had and the way they dressed, the food they ate. It's funny that we use it or say it or they utilize it as a religion. Christianity is a religion and it's derived from the Hebrew culture. Think about that. It was taken from the Hebrew culture and principles of it. They made a religion from it. That's different. It's not the same. So you say, Dr. K, what do you mean? Why would you say that? Let's look at the difference between religion and culture, right? etymology of culture. And then we're going to do the etymology of religion. Etymology of religion. Okay. So, the etymology of culture, right? I like Oxford has some good shit. Okay. It says, the tilling of land, act of preparing the earth for crops, is culture. Yeah, that's not the same shit. Let's go with that one. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let me not look at the etymology because it's going to give me not what I want. I'd rather take the definition. What the monkey? The definition of culture. All right, there we go. Okay, culture, right? The arts and other manifestations of human intellectual achievements regarded collectively. Culture, the customs, arts, social institutions, and achievement of a particular nation, people, or other social group. Now, we should be able to use the word religion and the etymology of it, right? The state of life bond by monotheistic vows. Also, an action or conduction indicating a belief in a divine power and a reverence for and desire to please the divine power. So how in the Sam H. they gonna put religion? A religion has nothing to do with culture. Culture has nothing to do with religion. In essence, religion is part of a people's culture, but it doesn't define the culture itself. So when they say, right, that as Judaism became a universal rather than a merely local religion, Judaism is the religion. And the people that practice it, majority of them are not of the bloodline. They're converted people. And that's what Judaism is to the converted folks. It's a religion to them. But to the Hebrew people, it was their way of life. It's not the same thing. The more common Hebrew noun, Elohim, with the capital E, plural in form, but understood in the singular. Elohim is a singular tense. Now, how do we know it's singular? I'll prove my point with this one. Okay. So when he says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. He created. Note how it says us, and then it says he. And the real issue is people don't understand the language. And because they have no concept of the language, they err because they said we. It's not we. And he created. You notice how it says, and he created male and female? Did it say, and we created male and female? No, that's how you know it's singular. It says, let us do it. And when it tells you who created them, it's singular tense. And he created. It didn't say, and we created. Now, see how that shit don't, you see how folks don't catch that part? Yeah, that part right there. Meaning power. Tending to replace Yahuwah is to demonstrate the universal sovereignty of Israel's God over all others. Yeah, when you see the capital, he's saying that he's over that. And everything else is under him. Yeah, that part. And at the same time, the divine name is increasingly regarded as too sacred to be uttered. It was thus replaced vocally in the synagogue ritual by the Hebrew word Adonai, my Lord, which was translated from the Hebrew to the Greek. Adonai was translated from the Hebrew to the Greek to Kairos, Lord, in the Septuagint, in the Greek version of the Hebrew scripture. And Kairos, or Kairos, or Kuros, is a Greek word that is usually translated as Lord or Master. We click on Lord, what did it give us? Lord. The etymology of the word Lord, according to the Oxford Dictionary, the etymology of the word can be traced back to Old English word Halford, which originate from Halfrid, meaning a loaf word or bread keeper, reflecting the dramatic tribal custom of a chieftain providing food for his followers. Now, ain't that some shit? The Appleton Lord is primarily applied to men, while for women, the Appleton Lady is used. This is no longer used. The Lord of the Manor, the title held by the Queen of the United Kingdom, the female Lord's Manor, are examples of women who style as Lord. One of those other modern conceptionized words. So how is it a translation of the word Lord when Lord itself is a more newer word than the other word itself? Now, does that make sense? Hell no, it don't. This is how they trick niggas ass. Because we don't go chasing to get understanding. Now, it goes from Lord and Master, right? It is used in the Septuagint translation of the Hebrew scriptures about 7,000 times, and particularly translating the name Yod-Heh-Wav-Heh, the Tetragrammaton, and it appears in the Koine Greek New Testament about 740 times, usually referring to Jesus. Niggas, did you hear that? Usually referring. Now, mind you, now the name in the Old Testament is not referencing Jesus. How do we know? It literally just told you. Can I read one more time? Here we go. We're looking for how the word, right, Adonai came up, because Adonai was attached to what? The creator God. And it goes from the creator God to the New Testament. Now it's referencing who? And it appears in the Koine Greek New Testament about 740 times, usually referring to Jesus. Only in the New Testament is when it's referring to who? Jesus. In the Old Testament, it's not a reference to Jesus. The Old Testament is a reference to Yahweh.
Was it, niggas?
Yeah, that part. See that there? And I backed up my shit. Because y'all be knowing. I know y'all be thinking. I be making up stuff. It is Jesus. No, the fuck is not. Just told you. Goddamn. See that there? The Masoretes, who from about the 16th to the 10th century worked to reproduce the original text of the Hebrew Bible, added to Yod-Heh-Wav-Heh. Notice it said added to Yod-Heh-Wav-Heh. The word signs of the Hebrew words Adonai or Elohim. They added the word in yon. Ada, did you hear it?
Nigga, did you hear that shit?
Goddamn. One more time. One more time for the peanut gallery. Goddamn, in the back. The Masoretes, who formed about the 6th or the 10th century CE, worked to reproduce the original text of the Hebrew Bible, adding to Yod-Heh-Wav-Heh-Yahowah the vowel sounds of the Hebrew words Adonai and Elohim.
Well,
they ain't make their way into the Bible until when? The 6th through the 10th century. Wow. So you mean to tell me the original niggas prior to the 6th or the 10th century never even used these words or names? Wow, Father. I know some sneaky shit going on around the town. Uh-huh. I told y'all ass. I told you, but I know you didn't believe me. It's okay. It's all right. I told you we was gonna back that shit up this year. Well, I also told you y'all was gonna learn some real biblical studying shit going on around the town. I literally said that. Moving on. Latin speaking Christian scholars replace the Y, which does not exist in Latin, with an I or a J. The letter of which exists in Latin is a variant form of an I. Thus, the Tetragrammaton became the artificial Latin. Artificial Latin as version of the word Jehovah. As the use of the name spread throughout medieval Europe, the initial letter J was pronounced according to the local vernacular language rather than Latin. Although Christian scholars after the Renaissance and Reformation periods use the term Jehovah for Yod-Heh-Wav-Heh, in the 9th 19th and 20th centuries, biblical scholars again begin to use the form Yahweh. But it should be Yahweh. Early Christian writers such as St. Clement,
that nigga.
Let's click on St. Clement's ass, but we're going to go back to these Latin fathers later on. St. Clement was born in 15 CE, Athens, died in 211 to 215. They don't even know when the nigga died. Goddamn. Eastern Feast Day. He has a feast day next. A celebratory feast day. You know what that is? November 24th. Oftentimes connected or synonymous with what day, niggas? Say what now? Father, I know. Thanksgiving, niggas. It's a story for another day again. He was a missionary theologian to the Hellenistic Greek cultural world and the second known leader and teacher of the Catholic school of Alexandria. The most important of his surviving works is a trilogy comprising of the Protreptikos. Yeah, I ain't finna read that shit because I already know I'm finna butcher the hell out of that.
Comprising the Protreptikos, Exhortation, the Paedagogos, Instructor, and the Stromates, Miscellanies.
Ain't this something? Now listen to this. And we supposed to believe they have.
According to Saint Epiphanius, a 4th century bishop, the parents of Titus Flavius Clemens were Athenian pagans. There is little significant information about his early life. As a student, he traveled to various centers of learning in Italy and in the eastern Mediterranean area, converted to Christianity by his last teacher, Pantinus, reputedly a former Stoic philosopher and the first recorded president of the Christian catechetical school at Alexandria. Clement succeeded his mentor as head of the school about 180.
That is what my parents were pagans. And you got Catholic Universal Church now, goddamn.
During the next 2 decades, Clement was the intellectual leader of the Alexandrian Christian community. He wrote several ethical and theological works and biblical commentaries. He combated heretical Gnostics, religious dualists who believed in salvation through esoteric knowledge that revealed to humans their spiritual origins, identities, and destinies. He engaged in polemics with Christians who were suspicious of an intellectualized Christianity, and he educated persons who later became theological and ecclesiastical leaders, e.g., Alexander, Bishop of Jerusalem.
So, next. Let's just keep it 100. These folks kept setting the groundwork and adding to Christianity and creating new doctrines as they went. So, it pretty much looks like they were making it as they go. I know you didn't like that, but it's okay. Because that's what the hell it seems like the more I read and study about these Latin fathers. Because a lot of times we don't like to read that. Yeah, I don't got to read. I'm going to let Siri read.
The meaning of the personal name of the Israelite God has been variously interpreted. Many scholars believe that the most proper meaning may be he brings into existence whatever exists, Yahweh Asher Yahweh. In I Samuel, God is known by the name Yahweh Tevaot, or he brings the hosts into existence, in which hosts possibly refers to the heavenly court or to Israel. The personal name of God was probably known long before the time of Moses. Moses' mother was called Jochebed, Yocheved, a name based on the name Yahweh. Thus, the tribe of Levi, to which Moses belonged, probably knew the name Yahweh, which originally may have been, in its short form Yah, or Yahu, a religious invocation of no precise meaning evoked by the mysterious and awesome splendor of the manifestation of the Holy One of Israel, blessed be his name.
The Holy One of Israel, blessed be his name. So what did she just say? Well, she said that the personal name, meaning the name that was a very intimate name for the people, was he brings into existence whatever exists. He brings it forth. He makes it happen. He produces things. Yeah. Yahuwah Ashar Yahuwah. Right. God is known by the name Yahuwah Sabaot. Or he brings the host into existence. The hosts that are in heaven. You know, y'all call them stars and shit. The Hebrews call them the hosts of heaven, not stars. That was not the name they used. They called them the hosts of heaven. Now, if you go and look up, which I bid you not, but still, go research it, because on the wiki you'll find it. A book called, I forget the name of the book, but it's written by Aleister Crowley. Oh, Thelema. He wrote a book called Thelema. And in Thelema, he talks about star worship. And they utilize what's that dude's name? Michelangelo's anatomical man. And the star is placed, but he placed the anatomical man inside the star. If you have a high-powered telescope and you actually look into the heavens and look at the stars, it actually kind of, the way it move around, right? Because it twinkles, but there's movement with a twinkle. It looks like men, like hands and head and the feet and shit, just like the star. Right? Because that's what we know. The people worship the host of heaven. This is really what idolatry is the worship of the host of heaven. They chose certain, you know, planets or star sections. Oh, excuse me. And set worship upon them itself. Okay. That's what they did. And then here we go again with the same shit. They just changed stuff around. Because if you really researched JC's Latin name, Iesus, and your Hebrew's Ye means I am, right? Zeus, right? That's the name, right? Even though I know people will get mad and say it, but if you just look at the Latinized version, and then when you look at the picture of Zeus himself, he looks exactly like the picture that they have in the Catholic Church. Just like Manichaeism, right? That same God that they worship in Manichaeism looks exactly like Zeus. Look exactly like the white Jesus. So, yeah, it's not difficult for you to pick that up. Now, this is the interesting thing. This is why I don't like the name Jehovah or period, right? So, in Strong's, the Hebrew word Hova means to ruin, a disaster. Now, you see that? So when you say Yahovah, you're saying the God of what? Disaster. The God of what? Ruin. Another term for Hova, ruin, is mischief or the God of mischief, right? Which is who? Pan, nigga. Yeah, that's a story for another day. I'm gonna be quiet now. Noun feminine, ruin, disaster, compare below. Ezekiel is disaster shall come upon disaster, and the disaster shall fall upon thee. Yeah, that's whole vibe. So when you see that Jay-Z call his ass Hova, y'all ass be mad and think he being blasphemous, but it's actually a Hebrew word and it means disaster or destruction. It's ignorance that really fuck us up, because we don't be knowing shit. Just saying. This is why we need to learn how to research more instead of talking so damn much. Moving on. But those are the letters of God's most prominent name. Ancients in Torah knew this was God's sacred name, so they would say other names instead. So instead of using his name, because, you know, he said don't use his name in vain, yeah, dog, and don't use it inappropriately, they came up with other ways, right, instead of using his name itself. To this day, it's too sacred for any Orthodox Jew to pronounce out loud. Yeah, it's because they got another guy, goddamn, they don't talk about. That's a story for another day, too. Those other names are Adonai, meaning Lord. No, he just said it was what? Prince, right? Or my Lord. Right? El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. Elohim, which is power. Amazing, because in Genesis we are told about beginnings, how God's word became creation from the breath of his words. More amazing, and we'll explain later. But God spoke words that created things and brought them into existence. He created things and brought them into existence. And when you think about his name, right, I will be whom I will be, meaning whatever it is. Oh, shoot. Hold on, I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't mean to do this. Okay. When you think about his name, he will be, right, his A-I-A-I-I. And yeah, Ashe, yeah, right? I will be who I will be. And he's saying this. He says, I could be whatever I choose to be. Don't put no limitations on what I am. You are what I created you to be, but you don't know what I am. I could be many things. Ba-bam. Just like that right there. And yeah, that's how you do that one. There, right there. Okay, God's word became creation from the breath of his word. More amazing, and we'll explain later, but God spoke words that created things and brought them into existence. This is also where the Gnostics get the law of attraction from. Yes, in the New Testament, isn't that? Yes, where is it? We'll talk about that another day. And the representation of that is what you see in the book of the prophets, where God let them or spoke to them, right? And there were certain things he told them to do. And those things in which they did manifested something, right? Anyone utilizing this in absence of Yehovah and his will is done very... They're doing this outside in the absence of his, of him and his will, right? Or instructions. Without his instructions. Is done very irresponsibly and has consequences that inevitably occur from this, right? Because when we do things, I guess the best way to explain it is like a witch or somebody's, you know, playing around with shit. And they don't realize the shit they playing around with gonna have some consequences for them doing the things that they do. Everything starts off very lightly, innocently, right? And then they have to up the ante each time they require or request something to the point where after that there's so much turmoil going on in your life that you just pretty much overcome by. I promise you, you do not want to have to fight against spirits that you've placed upon yourself. Because it's going to take someone to come in and pull that thing off of you. Which is why we have to be very selective of the things that we do. Why is it so important to orchestrate our relationship with God effectively? I'm going to try to clean this up. And if I don't get finished with it, I'll come back with the rest of it. So this is what we were... Now I know how I can find it. Because I got the information I'm looking for, goddamn. So basically, the breathing that we breathe, right? The bronchial breath sounds are hollow tubular sounds that are lower pitched that can be oscillated over the trachea when they are considered normal, right? I'm just telling you. My whole, like, thing is, you know, I was typing still too fast. There is a stent pause in the sound between respiration and inspiration or expiration and expiration. So when you breathe in and breathe out, Yohoa is a ration. A ratio, shit, of 1 to 3. What you mean 1 to 3 is 3 breaths or 3 hits, like, or sounds. Right? 3 to 1. Boom, boom, boom. Each sound, every 3, the ratio of 3 produces 1 sound. So you have Yah-ho-wah, right? Hold on, let me see if I can pull this up. And then I can close out and then we can finish up the rest of this later. But maybe not. Oh man, come on with me now. Let's see. Let's see if it comes up the way I want it to.
We're anesthesiologists, surgeons, emergency medicine physicians.
In this video, we're going to review bronchial breath sound. These are a breath sound that can be auscultated over the first and second intercostal space of the anterior chest. And they're a hollow sound, and they're going to be louder and even more high-pitched than vesicular breath sounds, which we'll play for you in another video.
That's some really gangster shit, niggas. I bet you said I didn't hear that, but that's exactly what that sounds like. Yahoah. God is amazing. I promise you he is. He is so amazing. Truly. Truly amazing. You just can't really, you really cannot. Man, it's just too much stuff that we keep coming. Is it rain? Huh. I don't know what the hell that was. So about Elohim. In the beginning, there was nothing but Yahuwah. And Elohim said unto Moshe, Eyeh Asher Eyeh. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, Eyeh has sent me to you. That Shemot or Exodus 3:13. The other scripture is, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are our power. Psalms Otelit Yam 90:2. Yea, before the day was, I am he. Hey, you know how people be like, ooh, who made God first and how did he come? Did you not know the Bible actually answers that? This is what he says. Before the day was, meaning before there was even day or night, I am he. And there is none that can deliver you out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? He's saying, whatever he do, who has the right to tell him what he should be doing and should not be doing? He said, I will work, and who shall let it? Who's saying that they got it done? Told me to do it. No, that's not how this works. God be saying some gangster shit. thus says Yahuwah, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, blessed be his name. For your sake, I have sent to Babel and have brought down all the nobles and the Kadashim, or the Kashdim, whose cry is in the ships. I am Yahuwah, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your king. God said he's a king. Yes, he is. Thus says Yahuwah, which makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Yeshayahu or Isaiah 43:13-17. Thus says Yahuwah, the King of Israel and the Redeemer of his Redeemer, Yahuwah Sabaoth. I am the first and I am the last. And beside me, there is no power. And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me? Who gonna set up, like, who? What you mean? Who did what now? You say what now? They did what? Who said what? See, God talk it. Walk it like you talk it. Since I appointed the ancient peoples and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time and have declared it? What I mean, everything I said that was to come and declared the things that was coming and I told you. And the things I said come forth. Now what? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there any God beside me? Yea, there is no rock. Whew, come on now. I know not any. He got this all by himself. I don't need backup. There's nobody else that needs to be addressed nor consulted about what I do and how I do it. And when I do it, who's going to tell me not to do it? Oof. Yeah, don't play with him. Yep, yeah, I told y'all. Yeshayahu 44:6-8. Yahuwah Sabaoth has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, as I placed it in my mind to formulate it, and my thoughts make things happen. Nigga. All right. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand. And whatever purpose I made it for is going to do that which I set for it to do. Ain't nobody going to interrupt what I've set it to do. What was it? Huh? Mm-mm. I done got lost now, goddamn. Okay, that I will break Asher in my hand, in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. Listen, And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For Yehovah Sabaoth has purposed. And who shall disannul it? Whatever I set in motion, whatever I put to go and be done, who gonna take it back and stop it from happening? When I say this thing is about to happen, even though you agree, even though you ain't listening, even though you trying to figure out what was it, he said, who's going to stop what I set in motion? Father. Whew, niggas. I'm so sorry, God. Whew, niggas. Who gonna stop it? That's what he's saying. What I say will happen. And who the hell you think is going to stop what's being said or change it or redirect what I said to happen? You can have the whole world pray over you. But whatever I said will go forth until you do exactly what I have told you to do. It's going to continue on happening to you. And ain't nobody gonna be able to stop it. The only thing that'll make it stop is death. Don't play with God. Don't play with him. Don't fuck around and play with him to the point where he says that he's going to take your life. The worst thing that could happen to you when you don't take heed to what he's saying to you is your death will come eventually. So keep fucking around with him. Keep doing it. Keep playing Russian roulette with your life. Better mark these words, goddamn. And have declared it. Ye are even my witnesses. Is there any God beside me? Yea, there is no rock. Yahweh Sabaoth has sworn, saying, surely I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed it, so shall it stand, that I will break Ashur in my land, and upon my mountain tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nation, for Yehovah Sabaoth has purposed it. And who shall disannul it? Who shall take it back? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back when he decides that he's gonna? Yeah, that's Yashayahu Isaiah. When you hear this, you remember I told you that Christopher Columbus was reading. He said he studied the book of Isaiah religiously, and that was the fulfillment of Isaiah for him to come to the Americas, niggas. Do you understand this language here in all of the verses that I have read from Isaiah thus far? Who was wroth and done it? Who was mad and done it? Calling the generations from the beginning. I, Yehovah, the first, and with the last, I am he. Yashayahu, Isaiah 41:4. Baal bows down. Nauvoo stoops. Their idols are upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. He's seeing that the idols, you know, how they be carrying around Jesus and crosses. Y'all be bringing them around the town and whatnot. They on every damn thing all over the place. He said they are a burden to the beast because they're carrying something that don't have no value. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot deliver the burdened, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken unto me, or make me equal to, or compare me to, that we may be alike? Woo, Father, niggas, listen. The Creator says, who can you equal to him? What God can you put on the same level playing field as the Creator God? Who can you match up to him? How? Do you understand the Jesus being matched up to him? He literally is saying there is no one else but him. And who is it that you're putting me with? Nigga, that's a direct violation to you. Listen. They said they brought the gods to us, him. Where they equaled the God to our God, or equaled him to the Creator. Great Spirit. Who do you equal him to? Who's like him? How you gonna put somebody on my playing field? Oh, shit. Niggas, that's a mic drop right there. I'm done with that. That's the end. Ain't no need for me to keep talking about who he is. You take all the information I gave you today. You weigh it out. You pray on it. You seek him and see if I'm lying. Pray it out. Talk to him. As if he gonna talk to you, niggas, because most of y'all be praying to JC all the damn time. And he ain't heard you till you get somebody to call. Call him for you. Or maybe he just might answer. If your prayer is sincere. If you're really seeking to understand and gain knowledge from it. Niggas, Tad, it's been a long day. Ooh, I'm so happy I don't gotta go to work Friday. Anyway, y'all. Y'all keep me in your prayers. And not for anything wrong, just strength and guidance in this new role at work. And all of the opportunities that I know is gonna come from this because of these meetings and, you know, all the other stuff that's attached to doing this job. Because it's definitely going to put me in another playing or level field. Truly, the job should pay at least $75 or more a year. So getting, you know, things situated to the company builds up to a place where I can actually make that kind of money is good. God finally putting me in places and doing the things that he promised me he would do. This is why obedience is better than sacrifice. What do you mean by obedience? Just obeying what he asked. Following the principles. Let the blessings flow within you and over your life. Anyway, Salim, Shalom, whichever one you choose. And as we say in our the tongue of our ancient forefathers, Shammai Yisra'el, Yahuwah, Eloheinu, Yahuwah, Echad, Baruch Shem Ke'olam. I'll get to the rest part. Yeah, eventually I'm going to get it all down. I'm going to start studying the prayers and psalms in Hebrew so I can learn them. Because it's something when we speak the mother tongue, it hits different. This is why I want to start, you know, studying the word. I mean, the language or the, you know, stuff. Anyway, y'all, I'm tired. Go to bed now. Love you. Peace.